We join the Super Legit crew before the show as we discuss how hard it is to get earbuds that fit.
I've not taken advantage of like that because I believe Apple will even like you can go into a store and they can like find the exact right size for your ear. Because I don't have both of them don't always fall out. It's always just one will tend to fall out and it's like
is it the same one?
That's what I was trying to. I believe it's the right one at almost every time. So it feels like it's the right one is Macaulay Culkin and the left is Elijah Wood and the good son.
What a delightfully deep reference, but I thoroughly appreciated it.
And here I thought the right one was going to be Danny DeVito and twins.
No, that's too extreme. That's too extreme. Like,
too much.
Perfect.
I'm just glad it actually worked because I was sitting on it. I was sitting on that reference for a solid 3 minutes trying to find it.
Just searching for an answer.
I had to find a time to work it back in, and I did it. I don't know why I'm doing that. Like
I'm
shooting myself in the foot right
Selling
now because
out.
I got it in there and it worked, and I should have just. Let it play.
I like the idea of it coming, like, you saving it and it comes out wrong. Yeah, like, and the left one's really, like, sort of like the bee and my girl. Like, oh, no! Oh, God!
No! It's the Super Legit Podcast, everyone. I am your host, Jet Kaufman. We've got another nice, intimate group of people this week. And there's going to be a pattern here, and it's going to get called out soon. Let's see. Who's our regulars? We've got Chris Compton.
Woo.
We've got Chris Sanders.
Woo woo.
We have my co-host, Michael Hyman.
Hello, Jet. Not a Chris.
Not a Chris.
Yeah.
But what are you about to tell us about our guest for this week's episode?
I'm going to tell you that we have a guest.
What indeed?
And the guest is returning champion, Chris Thompson. Chris is an improviser and producer. He's a member of the long-running Doctor Who-inspired improv team Doctor Who Live and a member of HMS Death, the creators and hosts of the long-running Pack Theater Deathmatch. In the world of video games, you can see Chris's work in the games Lost Planet 3, The Evil Within, Fallout 4, and Fortnite. And right now, you can listen to him here on the Super Legit Podcast, outnumbering the regular cast members not named Chris. Welcome, Chris!
Howdy.
Yes, but he is Dr. Chris.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
True.
That's true.
I was gonna chastise Michael for not acknowledging my entirely made up credential.
Yes. by hitting you with the actual credentials of you have.
You have a PhD in Chrissing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. An honorary PhD from Temple University.
Dude, I wish I could get one from Temple. I have one from a university that I also made up.
Right.
All right, Michael, what's our question for this week's episode?
Well, Jet, tonight's question comes to us from listener Raul Tinklesmith, and it is, what's something you will never stop doing no matter how much other people hate it?
Well, let's throw this to Dr. Chris Thompson.
Yeah, that's a tough question. It's a tough question for me personally as somebody who is simultaneously an egotist, but also has severe social anxiety because on the one hand, everybody hates everything that I do all the time. But then on the other hand, everything that I do is perfect, and what the fuck is their problem? So I don't have a good barometer to judge what something is that I do that people hate that I'm going to do forever, because people hate both everything and nothing that I do. I'm going to pimp my best friend, Mr. Michael Fritz Hyman.
Oh.
You've known me for... You know me as well as anybody.
Yeah, this is true.
What is something that I do that people hate.
Oh, fuck yeah. What's the hot goss?
Place people in awkward situations?
This year.
Oh, this, like, oh, this isn't like, awkward for... This is a dream for Michael.
I mean, now, like, data legit, what is something? I don't...
And I will tell you whether or not I'm going to do it for the rest of my life.
Yeah, this question posed me some trouble even just thinking personally. And I guess maybe the problem is could also be too egotistical or not self-aware to think that you do anything that people... I'm sure that if we pose this to the people in my office, at my work, at camp, you get a bunch of answers. I'm sure everyone's
That's
got
literally
something.
What I'm doing to you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but like, you know, in a workplace, I think, you know, you have work relationships and people definitely, you know, have grudges and things and will pick out stuff. I don't know, actually, Tops. Honestly, truthfully, I don't have an answer for you here.
Well, the egotist side of me is rejoicing in that.
I mean, I jokingly was pointing out the fact that you continue to call yourself a doctor.
Well, I'm not going to stop
yeah,
doing
that's
that.
That's fine. That's fine, too.
Actually, so I got into a little bit of hot water. Because I was on Twitter. So Christmas of 2021, I was on a plane to go visit my family in rural Alabama. And I just, before I got on the plane, I was thinking about The Christmas Carol, which is my favorite Christmas movie. And I was like, at one point, Scrooge says that Cratchit makes 15 bob a week. I'm like, what the hell is 15 bob a week? And so I Google it. And they're like, oh, it turns into such and such amount of shillings. And I'm like, okay, so what would that be in today's money? Google, Google, Google. This is all just shit that I'm doing in the airport terminal. And then while doing that, it's like, oh, that all, if 15 bob a week in today's money turns into like $34,000 a year, something like that. Something that came up above a $7.50 minimum wage. And so I just fired off without even thinking about it. Here's a fun annual reminder that the 15 bob a week that Bob Cratchit makes is more than the modern minimum wage. Something to that effect. Didn't even give it a second thought. Got on a plane, flew to rural Alabama, was spending time with my family, and then I open up Twitter and it has gone viral. And going viral sucks. It absolutely sucks because, like, all of a sudden, this is going back to the whole Dr. Chris Thompson thing because that's my Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I have people DMing me being like, I demand to see your credentials for this. What? And it's like, this is for an audience of 400 people.
Right.
Like, I did not even for a second. And then I got... We were having not Christmas dinner, but like I was having dinner with my family pre-Christmas, and I got called away from a reporter from USA Today who saw my tweet and wanted to understand my academic credentials.
Oh my
because
God.
My Twitter handle is Dr. Chris Thompson. Yeah.
Now, this is a platform that is 50% people who don't believe COVID exists.
Yeah,
50% people who think COVID killed John F. Kennedy.
And like, the thing that is like maddening to me about it is the only reason I even go by Dr. Chris Thompson is I used to go by Sir Chris Thompson, but that was too many letters. So I was like, okay, how can I retain that air of pretension? And cut one letter out. And so Sir Chris Thompson became Dr. Chris Thompson.
I do like the idea that there is a PhD, like a well-educated PhD named Chris Thompson, who now has to go by Chunky Lover 82.
I have ruined that guy's life.
Super.
Oh my God. I'm so glad we could finally have this dinner. I've been nervous all week. Get to go on this date with you?
Hey, there's honestly no reason to be nervous. I'm just a human being. Yeah, hands up one leg at a time like anybody else. I just want to get to know you.
Great. Okay. So We did like online names before, but yeah, I want to make sure you know my full name. It's Empress Virginia Covington.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
I'm mm-hmm. Steve Cahill.
Steve. Oh, all right. Just a standard S-T-E-V-E, you know, nothing fancy with it, or?
Well, no, I mean, like, my handle is SteveLord83, but, mm-hmm. like, I'm not actually a lord. My mom's mom's maiden name was Lord, but
a family name.
Honestly, it wasn't even that. I'm just, you know, Steve Lord. It's like, you know, like Edge Lord or any other kind of Lord, but just Steve Lord.
The Lord of Edges?
I don't want to interrupt your conversation. Oh, hi. Welcome to Benihana. Have you guys dined? Are you experienced with how things work here?
I have not.
I'm extremely familiar and will not require any further questions.
I mean, Steve here picked the restaurant. I've never been to a Benihana before.
Well, just to let you know, hey, I'm gonna chop it up here. You continue chopping it up with your conversation. I'm gonna make all your food. It is my first day. Please don't. I'm just a cook on the wall.
Wait, is that something you do here? Is you make the onion go woo woo?
They do make the onions go woo woo.
Yep, yep.
Oh, that's
like
great.
A volcano where I can pretend
this.
That it's a train.
Oh,
yeah.
This is fantastic. I've never dined in a place so.
Hey, do the thing where you flip the shrimp before. Into my mouth. Do that thing. Food in my mouth.
I was getting to that. All right.
Wow.
Oh, the shrimp has. I forgot the shrimp on my cart. I'm gonna do the thing with the egg, but instead of cracking it on my knife, on my spatula, I'm gonna just throw a whole egg into your mouth.
Woo! Yeah.
that got on me. That wasn't cooked.
Empress, it's okay. It's part of the process.
It is okay. All right, I was gonna check with you because you're experienced with these sorts of things.
I think the shell scratched my throat.
Do you have any alcoholic beverages that you can provide? Perhaps a.
I'm just a chef. I just do the cooking. There's servers that'll.
Oh
come
yeah,
around
no, there's yeah, there's some. Yeah. Someone's gonna come around.
Okay,
please don't
there
ask me to get
here.
You.
All right.
I think I snorted some yolk up my nose.
I'm sorry. I really should have asked you this question before your meal started being made. Can I get you something to drink? Can anybody get something to drink?
Oh, you have some champagne? Can I get a Chateau de Beaujolais 96?
We have an Asti 2024.
How quaint. Sure, I'll give it a try, you know, when in Benihana, as they say.
Hey, could you,
Is that a thing they say?
Sure, we say that. Just make sure it's something nice for them. It's a first date over here.
Oh, a first date.
Yeah.
We're going to get you guys the 2023.
Yes.
All right.
See?
Well, that's huh? Hey. Actually, for me, just a club soda with wine.
Oh, okay. All right. We have Barks 2020.
I just a club soda with
wine. Oh, okay. All right. I believe root beer eventually turns into club.
You got a full bar.
We got some of them.
You got a full bar, yeah? Full bar?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me get an AMF.
Princess, you're this guy doesn't drink. I just.
I'm sorry. What did you just call me?
An empress. I think he.
It's an empress.
It's my first day.
Well, it's funny that you make that distinction because. The term emperor was originally conceived by the
hot beef coming at your mouth.
That's so
good. Being distinctly like separating themselves from royalty. Like, whoa, we're not kings. We are. It derives from the Latin "imperator," which is a military term.
I cooked all that way too long. I gotta start over.
You know, you really know your stuff. I'm impressed. Yeah,
here's your one can of champagne.
For not being an actual lord.
One club soda. And I heard AMF.
Yeah, so that's right. AMF, baby.
Absinthe, malt liquor, and Fireball whiskey.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take that too. That's cool. All
right. There you go. Oh,
this is a new one.
I'm sorry. Do you keep dry, Steve?
No. I stopped drinking about 10 years ago.
Onion go, woo woo.
Yeah, look at that fire, woo, ding 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 ding. Yeah,
it does go woo woo. This is great.
Yeah.
Woo. Oh.
It was a personal choice. Okay. I just didn't like waking up feeling shitty every other day. Ugh, so
this is gross. I think I'll have another.
If you do come to any of the palace balls, I mean the drinking is usually a big component of it.
Oh, I'm not like on the wagon. Like I can.
Oh, okay, all right. I just didn't want you uncomfortable.
Typically don't.
Well, I've been on the wagon before. Didn't really take. Cheers.
Oh, is that a fact?
This guy is quite lively.
Yeah.
You think things interesting? So,
trip me, buddy. Tried to swallow that before I breathe. Delicious.
I got my master's, my history master's, at St. Lawrence University in Canton, New York.
Okay.
It's very far upstate.
So again, I'm sorry. I gotta circle back. There's no royalty in your bloodline at all. Just said a last name. That's it.
No, I hope everybody likes just kind of fried rice.
Hell yeah.
My work here is done.
No. Again, my sister did our genealogy once upon a time, and there were some people named Lord. But they were all just like farmers in Alabama.
Just gonna like reach across you with my chopsticks. They put the rice in front of you, madam. I'm just gonna, you know, just like gonna grab, reach across there.
All right. I suppose that might be part of the point here. Yeah. Please.
Your chopsticks are already greasy.
It's Betty Hotta. What are you gonna do?
I'm trying to make sure that this would work for us here, because obviously, you know, and anyone that I am eventually betrothed to would have to join. Various kingdoms or countries, or you know, there have to be strategic partnerships.
Sorry,
here.
I'm dropping some grains of rice in your champagne. I hope you don't mind. It's, chopsticks are not. I'm not good at these.
Why don't you here? You have the shit. I took a sip, but it's not agreeing with me. So
that might be the thing to spice up this AMF. All right.
This fine man swept me off my feet.
You tell him, babe.
That's right. Well, people, I want you to meet your new emperor husband.
Yeah, that's right. Bow down, bitches. Woo. Suck it.
We'd rather eat it. We're so hungry.
Yeah, eat. Everyone, have a steak. It's cool.
No. We don't actually have the food to give out to them. No. It's yes.
Damn. Excuse me.
Excuse me, Emperor, could we please have a CAMF?
Oh, yeah! CAMFs for all! First degree!
Those we can do. Lots of alcohol. Yes. So
wouldn't
much
that
alcohol.
Be good on an empty stomach?
Oh, yeah, no.
It burns!
It hits you faster, burns. Yeah. Just fire it out of this hose, yeah!
Oh,
keep your eyes
I love
open.
You,
you gotta feel the burn.
So
that's
much.
How you know it's good.
You are so sexy. Oh. Let's make out in front of our people.
Yeah,
our livers hurt!
Legit. I like having been to a Benihana like within the last 4 days.
It's like a flashback, right?
The greatest act of proletariat rebellion and sort of anti-white supremacist rebellion I've ever seen was at a Benihana in Lincoln, Nebraska. A friend of mine and I were there, and there was this like dad and his son at the like table next to us. And the dad's just teaching his kid how to be racist. Like, you know, like using his eye, like, you know, pulling his eyes up to do like Asian slurs. And, and this is like the guy cooking is literally right in front of you. Like, you know, this isn't like somebody's back is turned.
Just to clarify, guy working at the Benihana in Lincoln, Nebraska was in fact Asian.
Yes.
Okay.
Hard as it may be.
Because I've been to Lincoln. That's not a foregone conclusion.
Yes. At the end of the meal, or like, you know, you cook the meal, he does the toss the shrimp thing. And he turns to the kid and is like, do you want to see if your dad can catch a shrimp in his mouth? And dad's like, I got it. You know, he's been like pouring him back. Throwing him back the whole meal. And so he like tosses the shrimp on there on the grill, like he gets it real good and hot and picks it up on that spatula and just pegs it at the guy's face.
Yes!
and the guy's like, you missed. He's like, well, let me try again.
Did he?
And you see these like little, you know, these little like, you know, like Saudi Arabian flag, like crescent moon shape, red shrimp circles on the side of his face. You get like three in. The guy's like, man, you're terrible at this. At the end of the meal, my friend and I walked over and tipped him $40. We're just like, we should have spoken up. By the way, we are terrible white allies in that moment. But man, he had it under control.
Yeah.
It was just so beautiful to see.
Oh, that's so good. that's amazing.
I don't think you should feel bad for not speaking up the moment, right? Because it's not like it was, he wasn't in any immediate physical danger.
Right. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And yeah, any, yeah, you would have ended up being like the shittiest thing
white
savior for that situation, right? Would it for you to be a white savior and you to be like, hey, buddy, let me see your spatula.
I have to say, savior implies that I have succeeded at saving.
Right.
The additional victim would have been probably the more likely outcome there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just such a beautiful, that like the just the pure, complete disconnect of the guy going like, you're terrible at this game, was just like, like everything about like white supremacist conservatism was encapsulated in that moment.
I love the guy is just like, oh shoot, you want me to keep trying? I'll keep
trying. Yeah.
I'll get one in eventually.
And like, you feel like that kid had to know.
Right.
Like, no matter how old that child is,
I don't know. He is that guy's child. Like,
yeah. This is kind of thing that happens to my dad. Like, you are not the first person to hurl shellfish at his face as a revenge for racism.
Did you see the previous shrimp shaped scars on his face?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You notice his face looks like sort of one of those like mosaics you make out of cheese doodles in kindergarten.
There's a reason for that.
What is something that you will never stop doing no matter how much other people hate it? So my brain 100% of the time is making up Weird Al style song parodies. At any moment when I hear a song, like, my brain will just start like punning the lyrics.
So you're saying,
and
that
like not in
this?
A way that are like any good or anything like that. It's just like this natural reaction that came from, you know, being a 12-year-old who listened to Weird Al Yankovic. But like, I will never be able to shut that. And I am smart enough not to share it with others. But 100% of the time, that is my brain.
That is a talent that I have identified to other people and am wholly jealous of.
I take issue with the word talent.
I think it is. I think it is legitimately a talent. In the same way that there are people who can hear a piece of music and immediately like visualize the chord structure. Like, there are people who can hear a piece of music and visualize what's the funny words they could have said instead. And
I'm picturing a version of A Beautiful Mind that's about Weird Al.
Why didn't we get that Weird Al biopic? Yeah. Not to say the one we got wasn't good.
Chopin.
look, executives of Phony Music Records, I know I've really been on the hook here to solve our problem of coming up with different punny names for famous songs, and just none of us have been able to do that, but I think I found a solution. My wife's cousin, like second removed or something, he's loosely related, but he's just outside the door. He actually has this wild ability where he is 100% of the time making up punny names to songs. All he has to do is hear a song or just give him the title of a song, and he will, boom, punny name. So,
look, I'm desperate at this point, so just I'll take
I know,
money.
We're going to go under. Yeah. Hey, Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, go ahead. The door's cracked open. Come on in.
What's going on in here?
He's a little socially he's a little bit of a savant in that way. So just rattle off any song like Take on Me. Take on me.
Bacon me.
Boom.
Wow. I would never have thought of that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Take on and bacon rhyme.
Yes. Huh? Yes, they clearly do. Yes.
Yep. Yep. They do.
He's got a pretty interesting thought process.
I'd love to get inside that brain. That's amazing. Let's do another one. Let's list these off, because that's a thing we do.
Smells like teen spirit.
How about smells like green beer? It. He's talking to that thing from Adam's Family.
Whoa!
Is it? It is what his name is.
Yes, or cousin thing. It.
Oh, cousin it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, I thought I'd let you down.
You were thinking
for
of the hand is thing. But yeah. Okay. Cousin exactly. It, and you were talking.
He's
to
a big
cousin,
hairy
right?
one, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And he'd probably be pretty smelly. And like would probably go to a St. Patrick's Day parade,
absolutely,
and drink green beer.
No, that guy loves to chug beer. That's what I remember.
I don't know if you can hear. There's a comma after the word beer. Sorry, I didn't think.
No, why would you say that out loud? That would be weird.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Yeah, you know, I don't want to make it so.
No, yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine. This is fantastic. Wow. You are gonna save our label at this point.
Is it Phony Records? Is what this called?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, for some reason it's never
Sony.
Caught on.
Huh?
Oh my god.
Oh, I thought that was a pun. Was there? Is there some?
No,
history
no. We
here?
Can.
Sorry.
There is
okay,
a
sorry.
Lot of potential sorry. Litigation there.
Okay.
Yes.
I got
yes.
you. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw one out here. Let's see what we can do with you know, she was pretty popular. Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time.
How about Hit My Baby One More Time? It's about child abuse.
Wow, that's going to go great. It's about
somebody hitting a baby.
Graphics. Yeah.
But then ask him to do it again. And see, that's where the joke is. Because, like, if you ask somebody to hit your baby, like, that's just monstrous. If you ask somebody to hit your baby again, like, we're clearly in a weird universe where hitting a baby is a good idea.
Got it.
So it's kind of like a multiverse, sort of Doctor Strange, multiverse of madness kind of thing. But about hitting baby.
Hey, guys, Weird Al Yankovic here. I don't know if you've heard what's going on over at Phony Records, but they're really kind of edging into my brand here. Like, and diluting it in a way that Weird Al doesn't think is cool.
Well, you can't take the heat, Weird Al. I mean, come on, there's competition. You've been around a long time. You can't take a little bit of competition?
You've been on top of the mountain for like 40 years, Al.
Yeah.
Competition is one thing, but they're diluting the art of parody. Like, Hit My Baby One More Time.
That's funny.
That's just...
Oh, that's some funny stuff right there.
One time is a crime, but the second time makes it funny.
They're asking them to do it a second time, which implies that they were fine with it the first time. That puts you in a weird headspace. That's funny.
It's honestly a beautiful commentary on the dark society we live in.
Absolutely. This is some good stuff. Why do you feel so threatened by this, Weird Al?
I'm just saying, I feel like the problem that we're dealing with is that anybody who hears any kind of parody gets attributed to me.
Wow. So
and I
like
wouldn't
gotta,
say that.
Someone's weird head has gotten really big here.
I would think it was a Weird Al parody. Hit my baby one more time. Here's your banana kale smoothie, sir.
It sounds like something you would do. Hit that baby.
Because it's about child abuse.
It is not something I would do. I have spent the last 40 years cultivating a very clean, wholesome brand.
I don't know. I feel like some people would expect you to hit the baby, possibly with a sledgehammer.
Who would expect me to hit a baby?
I mean, it's
people
it's,
who now, don't know you're different from Gallagher.
Now, didn't you murder a bunch of people in Like a Surgeon? Like, you murdered, like, a bunch of people in that one, right?
That was a music video. I didn't actually kill anybody.
But what's on video is what people believe.
And back then, we couldn't really afford special effects.
That's
like, that's
right.
Like the 80s.
And you were pretty positive about binge eating and obesity and fat, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think that probably killed
that
way more people
was
than
a
you even realized.
Fat suit?
No, I saw you eat those donuts.
I did not actually gain that weight.
You sure?
And I did not actually murder those people. I have a lot of good friends at Henson. I have a lot of good friends at Tippett. We faked all of it.
Now, these are the people you murdered?
Yeah. Are these people still alive? Can they vouch for this, or did you kill them off?
I mean, probably ask the production assistant.
Yeah, you also appropriated a lot of culture kind of unfairly in Amish Paradise.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with that.
And your lasagna parody of La Bamba seemed to, like, culturally appropriate in two different directions at once.
Against Italians and Garfield?
Well, I'm sorry that Latino music doesn't mean much to you, but Richie Valens was really a pioneer. And so, I mean, it's bad enough that his life was cut short so tragically.
Yeah, that's right.
As part of the day the music died, which, again, Jake Lloyd did not appreciate the things you said about him in the... your Phantom Menace one?
That's
American Pie?
Now that is off. That's offsides. I was very supportive of Jake and everything that he... The only thing I said in that song is that he was 9. Which he was!
Touche.
Let's throw another one out here for you to parody. How about The Day the Music Died?
How about The Day the Music Cried?
I love it. We can turn this around, make it funny.
Yeah,
it's
like
fantastic.
Like, instead of dying,
yeah,
it was electrocuted for committing murder.
I love this guy. Give him a contract.
See?
I told you. Hey, cousin second removed no longer, right, Phil? Like, first cousins.
That, hey, well, yeah. That's a good parody of second cousin. First cousin. Well, that's pretty good.
Hey, yeah, I guess I'm good at this too. Maybe I should give one another shot.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Let's see if the magic's spreading across the team.
Throw me a title.
How about Karma Police?
Hatred Enforcement.
Okay.
It's not traditional.
All right, let's see what you're going for.
The one thing, I don't want to give notes if you're not looking for notes.
Pharmacy, please.
You're getting closer.
Getting there.
Okay.
You're getting
closer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Harm this cheese.
Hey.
All right.
Got it?
Guys, I got it. Car my police.
I love it.
This is what I didn't mention. There's a comma in there, but he's talking to a car.
Car. This is these are my police?
About police officers that he owns. And he says, car, my police. He's introducing them.
Fellow Radiohead people, get in here. Johnny Greenwood, Colin Greenwood, Ed O'Brien, get in here.
Oi, oi, I'm here.
Oi, oi.
Oi,
oi.
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 Oi. Oi. Oi, Tom, what you gonna talk about?
I think we gotta retool Karma Police.
Oh.
Oi.
Oi.
Oi, what you talking about?
That came out like 30 years ago.
Right. And we've been playing it live for 30 years.
Except for the last 15 years when we stopped playing anything intelligible.
I don't want to hear that shit right now, Ed.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear that, boy.
That's right, Johnny.
Take that, Ed O'Neill.
What are we talking about? What do you want to do? All right.
What's the problem with it?
We release another version of OK Computer.
Okay. Oh, you are going to
a third version of OK Computer.
All right.
Those who are keeping track.
All right.
And we call it Farmer My Cheese.
What's that?
It's about fucking farmers, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're fucking the farmers?
Well, because farmers' lives are fucking hard, isn't it?
Is the farmer made out of the cheese?
It's about sheep farmers.
All right.
And like Wales and Ireland and all that.
Yeah.
Johnny gets it.
Why the rest of you gets it?
It's also a commentary.
It's a commentary on capitalism.
All right.
It's a commentary on agrarianism.
All right.
Yeah, fuck that. Fuck that shit.
We hate trees.
You said it, Ed O'Neill.
Trees, shrubs. Hate them all.
That's the most important part. I'll be doing the instrumentation myself.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Why are we here?
Yeah, we're just here for moral support.
Oh, yeah, and you had a Radiohead album for the last, like, 15 fucking years. You're just here for moral support.
Yeah.
We've just been sitting in this waiting room.
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm just glad they got free waters out in the waiting room.
Get some credits.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that?
See, Johnny gets it.
Hey, shut up, Johnny. He's off with fucking Academy Awards and shit. He's doing shit. Fuck you. Fuck you, Johnny. Oi.
Legit. Oi.
Man, I don't know if a better Radiohead impression has ever been performed.
Yeah.
I think every Radiohead impression that has been performed is better.
I don't know. No one's ever heard any of those guys speak ever.
I have no idea what they sound like.
Yeah,
they don't do interviews.
Yeah.
That's true.
That is true, right?
Speaking of what people sound like, I'd love to hear what our sponsor for this week's episode sounds like, Michael Hyman.
Yes, of course you would. And here it is. Come on down to Kroger, the breakfast section, for our newest product, sure to make the whole family happy come Sunday morning for breakfast time. Cthulhu's Lovecraftian Despair-Laden Pancake and Biscuit Mix. It's all your favorite pancake biscuit mix, just full of the existential dead and darkest chocolate known from the Cthulhu's Lovecraftian brand. The Cthulhu's Lovecraftian Despair-Laden Pancake and Biscuit Mix will instill the woe in your family, perfect to enjoy their long Sunday. As well as raisins, the grossest and most cosmic horror of the dried fruits and breakfast fruit things. The whole family will in terror at the unknowable contents of the preservatives in Cthulhu's Lovecraftian Despair-Laden Pancake and Biscuit Mix. Avoid pestilence with a balanced breakfast from Cthulhu's Lovecraftian Despair-Laden Pancake and Biscuit Mix. Also makes good waffles if you pray to the right demons. Bring your cultists home today, Cthulhu Fatagin. Cthulhu Fatagin.
Those Lovecraft pancakes are like the second most racist pancakes I've ever seen.
You leave Aunt Jemima out of this.
No, I'm sorry.
That advertisement made casual reference to the Kroger breakfast counter.
Yes.
And there was a period in my life where that was my primary breakfast sustenance.
Ooh.
Was stopping at the Ralph's on Ventura and Hazeltine on my way to work and hoping that they had either like breakfast burritos or breakfast croissants or something. And it's weird because at the time that I did that, that Ralph's was kind of like a dump.
Yeah.
It was like the shit.
Unlike most
Ralphs.
Of the other Ralphs that are just fantastic establishments.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's fire and ice
a lot
when
of them
it comes to a Ralph.
Have spent a lot of money to appear nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
oh,
this.
Yeah, like the Fresh Fares.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what this one became. Like, they, like, completely bulldozed this Ralph.
Yeah, that one in particular.
And now,
like, rebuilt
yeah,
from the
now
ground
it's,
up.
It's like the super posh, like, everything costs a couple of bucks more there.
They have a very
Ralph's.
Large kosher section.
Well, yeah, it's in Sherman Oaks.
Yeah, I would that would that's to me that's the Ralph's on La Brea and Third. Very posh
well.
And fancy.
Our international listeners are gonna be so fascinated with these Ralph's.
Oh
locations.
No, they get it. They get it.
Yeah.
They get it. They get the reference.
Once they understand what a Ralph's is and then where these streets are. Yeah. We'll put the coordinates in the we'll put the GPS coordinates in the show notes.
I mean, I think that is a fair aspect of Los Angelino culture.
Oh yeah.
That doesn't necessarily the studio that I currently work at, I've worked there for almost 2 years and it's fully remote. So like I haven't met any of my coworkers. We had a social a couple of weeks ago in Santa Monica, and I found out that one of the people who I've been working with for 2 years lives in the same neighborhood as me.
Oh,
and the first conversation we had was like, do you go to the good Ralphs or the shitty Ralphs? We both go to the good Ralphs.
Okay,
of
all
course.
Right.
Of course. Because you're good people.
I like the idea of you guys both saying the good Ralphs and then both saying the address of two different Ralphs.
Right, yes.
Wait, you think that Ralphs is the good Ralphs?
Yes.
I mean, like, I will say, like, in a movie teeming with great Los Angeles references, the best Los Angeles reference in Big Lebowski is the fact that his only form of identification is his Ralph's gun. That just, well observed Los Angeles.
Also, as a proud Valley dweller, speaking of the Big Lebowski, there is not an In-N-Out on Radford.
It's true.
That is my Neil deGrasse Tyson, the stars are wrong in Titanic hill. That I'm gonna die on is there is not
that's
an
the thing
out
I'll never
Radford.
Be able to stop doing. Yeah. I can't stop calling out inaccuracies to people, and like I have worked hard to reduce the amount that I do to carefully change the wording of the way I correct things to never ever start a sentence with well actually to try to not directly correct a person so much as find an excuse to interject with here's a fun fact that happens to contradict the information that you just put out there that is completely wrong, but it is not a thing that I can do to just let disinformation just sit out there and just percolate and spread unchecked.
You need to do like the factual sandwich, like the compliment sandwich.
Yes. Yes.
You gotta have two things that are facts sandwiching the thing that you are correcting.
You're right.
So that they're not taken off guard and they feel nice and comfortable when it's coming in.
Super.
I hear you and I respect the research and the insight that you have put into the opinion that you just offered. However, Eratosthenes, a Greek mathematician from the 3rd century BC, was able to concretely prove that the world is round based off of the shadow cast by wells in two different cities. So I don't agree with your argument. That being said, I respect the zeal and the passion with which you offered it. I hear you. My mother did have a questionable period in her time.
Oi.
Where she may have been a prostitute. That being said, I don't think that invalidates the fact that we have known
the world is round for as long as we have known that the world existed.
Yeah, the new version of Karma Police sounds really different.
Right. That's like, kind of what I was going for. Because, like, yeah, in 1997, we had these robot voices that was fucking edgy in 1997. Was edgy in 2024.
I gotta admit, when I was listening to it, there were people getting angry. So I think you are definitely still, like, you're still getting to people. That's why we at Crapital Records want to get you on board with us.
Seems a little silly to be signing with a record contract at this point in my career.
I've been
in a record studio and then broke off, been on my own, and then coming back to one.
Yeah,
but let's do it.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, just get your sign on the contract right here.
Yeah, here's the contract and your Guinness and sausage smoothie, sir.
Cheers.
All right. Well, we are so excited to have you on board, and you guys are the creative ones. We're just the business people. It's our job to stand back and just let you work. The one thing I am going to suggest, I just throw this out here. Okay, Tom. Pewter? See, it's like, he's saying, all right, Tom, you got a good idea. But what is this small figurine made out of that's sitting right next to you?
Tom.
Just throwing that out there.
Tom.
You guys are the poets. I'm just
Tom,
the numbers guy.
That's a $1 billion idea right there.
I tell you, this has always been my dream, is to have a creative person tell me something positive about my contribution. So I'll let you guys get started then. I'm so excited to hear what you come up with.
All right, we'll go back to the studio and you'll hear from us in 3 to 5 years.
All right.
Legit. That's accurate right there.
This is cathartic in a way.
Yeah. I guess a lot of this is like what we started with, the egotist in a lot of us both won't recognize the thing that other people might hate because no one can possibly hate anything that I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the egotist in me also is probably the driver of the thing that I do that I know. People probably don't hate it, but people don't enjoy it a lot of times because I'm the type of person that I will, like, I've always done it. I'm currently doing it right now where I end up providing, I can't just directly answer a goddamn question. I have to provide all of the fucking context that is humanly possible. I have to tell the entire life story and backstory of whatever process led me to my current belief structure that is associated with the answer to that question that you had about what cut of steak I prefer. And I, many years ago, you know, became conscious of it, that I do it, and that when I did do it, did start being conscious of it and tell people, like, oh, I'm sorry, I just provide way too much context. And some people were like, yay, you fucking do.
Now, does anybody ever say, well, why do you provide so much context?
that would, like, rip the space-time continuum. Yeah, I would break. I've told myself I need to stop, but I don't. And I'm just going to... I like to hear myself talk.
I feel like one of the great things about getting older is, like, just accepting that part of you. Like,
yeah,
losing the need to change a part of you that, like, may bother other people. And you're like, hey, let's see. Is this... am I hurting anybody? Is this perpetuating racism? No, I'm just annoying at this one point. And, like, I'm okay with that. Like,
Well, I mean, society's leaning into that, Chris. They're just said that they're going to add checkout lanes for people who do want to talk to the checkout person.
Who said that? Wait, society set society dictates.
There are
corporations.
I can't remember which supermarket it is, but
it's Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's forces it on you.
Yeah, no, but they have a policy where their employees are required to comment on at least one item that you're purchasing, and yeah, that is a Trader Joe's thing.
Oh, what?
Yeah, yeah. The cashier. Yeah. If you ever notice that your cashier will always at some point get something like, "Oh, aren't these so good? Like I got these last week," or you know, it's like, "Oh, just so you know, these are like super spicy or whatever." But you will always notice they will always comment on something, and that is a store policy that during the checkout process they're supposed to make that connection with you.
Is that a roundabout way for Trader Joe's to force people that work there to buy their products so that they can actually talk about it?
Ooh, like an Amway thing where they're their own customers?
Yeah.
I'm just picturing it like it's like Trader Joe's like shitty Vegas comic crowd work.
That's Southwest Airlines.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, touche. Yeah, that is like part of this is an age thing, but like my version of that is people who are like, can't wait to get back into the office. And like, I'm just like, wait, like, don't you miss? And I'm like, you don't have to finish that sentence. Like, I'm in my house and I didn't drive anywhere for 2 hours unpaid. Like, who at that office is worth doing all that? And I hear people like, yeah, you know, when you're younger and you're still building your social circle and you're building connections with people and like this is how you meet people, like, great. I finished meeting people a decade ago. Like I don't have to do that anymore.
Weirdly enough, I do miss being in the office. I miss that like social interaction. But I've also come to realize that the reason I miss that social interaction is I've been working in an office my entire adult life.
That's your standard of work.
That's how I meet people, is when we're forced to be in a space together because we need it for money.
Super!
All right, everyone. It's the big day. You're all back in the office. Mandatory return, but we're going to make this fun for you all. We're going to make this fun. So I want everyone to split into two lines, and all right, I'm gonna pull the curtain off. All right, we got a ping pong table. That's right. Aren't you all excited? Isn't this great? We have a ping pong table in the office now.
Question.
Gregory, yes. Isn't it great? Oh, I can't. You look excited. You look excited.
You know, we can play ping pong online. That's literally the first video game is ping pong.
Okay. All right. But this one is in three dimensions, and you can look your opponent in the eye and potentially, I don't know, maybe you'll hit them in the eye with the ball. Doesn't that sound fun? Yeah, Gregory, yeah.
I actually made a 3D ping pong as my graduate thesis.
That's right. Yeah. No, I do remember. It was a very impressive demo. Yeah.
And then when we were pivoting the company, you remember 5 years ago when we were pivoting the company to be virtual reality, I actually ported that demo to virtual reality.
Right.
So
right. And you did
literally
the force,
everybody
the
in this company has access to that beta where they could play ping pong with everybody else.
Okay. All right, that's enough from you, Gregory.
From the comfort of their own homes.
Yeah, that's enough, Greg. Vincent has a hands up. Yeah, what's up, Vincent? How excited are you for the ping pong table and the return to the office?
I was going to say, I might have more time to play ping pong with my coworkers if I wasn't spending 2 hours a day driving back and forth in traffic unpaid. Is there any way maybe we could play ping pong at our houses?
There is absolutely a way.
Okay. But in your houses, can you get free K-cups? Because we give out free K-cups to every employee, up to one per day. You know, we've got French roast, we've got dark roast, we've got light roast. We're out of medium roast right now for some reason that shipment didn't arrive. But yeah, free K-cups for everyone. Come on, isn't that, you know, that alone gets you up in the morning. Yeah. Robbie, what's up?
I don't mean to be the corporate shill here, but it's my first day.
Please,
so,
please do it.
I'm down if anybody wants to take me on a ping pong. Gotta warn you, I'm pretty good. I just left. My last job was Benihana, so know how to chop it up if anybody wants to.
That's the spirit right there. Come on.
Benihana's had a really productive last few years remote. But we're now looking to get people back in the restaurant. So it's going to be a little bit of a change. I know you've gotten used to cooking in your houses. And then we just sell people food online and it eventually gets to their houses and they eat it. It's a lot longer of a engagement with the customer because you have to continue to do cooking tricks while a delivery driver carries the food to them. So it's going to be a little different. And I just want everybody to get comfortable getting uncomfortable.
You know what? This will save me a lot of money in replacement laptops because I fling so many shrimp at my screen.
I do notice a little, like, sort of crescent moon shaped, like, sort of melted area on your screen there.
Yeah, as the IT manager, I'm also going to be pretty happy with that because these replacement screens are getting expensive.
Well, do we have anybody with concerns about coming in? We want to make this space open. If Benihana is known for one thing, and we are known for exactly one thing, it is creating an open employee communication.
I got one.
Yes?
I worry that if we adopt an online-only model, it's going to curb our artistic expressions.
Oh, that was the end of the sentence. I'm sorry. I wasn't quite sure. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm being culturally intolerant of your two-pattern,
which represents
your own pattern.
It's all right, mate. You're all right. Right. I feel like if we was to do that, then we would be in it.
I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. Absolutely. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
So, look, if there's one thing Benihana is known for besides creating an open and safe employee work environment, it's fostering creativity. And so...
Onion go woo-woo!
See? Woo-woo. There we go. He came up with that. We had never wooed in this business before. He came in with woo-woo. And I want to thank you. I want to say we got a patent on the Onion Volcano, and we gave it to him, even though it was a work for hire, because we foster creativity here at Benihana. That's what we do. I just want to say how much we appreciate all of you, because none of our customers ever will ever. All right. We all ready? Well, let's get out there and give them dinner and a show.
Shrimp in your mouth.
Legit. Yeah, I think shrimp in your mouth is the way you end an episode of the Super Legit Podcast.
For sure. Absolutely.
I'm trying to figure out what Radiohead song that is a parody of.
Shrimp in your mouth.
They'll all get you sued.
Okay. all right, Michael Hyman, do the thing you do. That thing you do, there's another song. Okay.
It's a great one. Great movie.
Yeah.
That thing you do?
Perfect.
That one's about Thing from Adam Finn.
Nice. All right, Michael Hyman.
Thank you as always to Matt Walker for intro and outro music. This episode was hosted by Jet Kaufman, edited by Jet Kaufman and Chris Sanders, and co-hosted by me, Michael Hyman. Every scene you heard today was improvised on the spot, along with some of the ads, with only a light touch of editing for your comfort. If you're loving what we're doing, pause real quick, write a 5-star review before you close the app, and tell your friends about us. Tonight's regular cast includes Chris Sanders, Chris Compton, and our very special guest, Dr. Chris Thompson. Thompson, do you have anything you want to plug, share, direct people to find you, to see things you do?
Nothing that I do. you know, patronize your local businesses.
Like your Benihanas? Yeah. Your local Benihanas?
Is there a particular Ralph's you would like to endorse?
The cool one.
The good one is Ventura and Vineland. Magnolia and Vineland is sketchy.
Absolutely. I concur, Doctor.
And on that advice, we bring this episode of the Super Legit Podcast to a close. Good night, everyone.
I don't believe anything's on. Oh, my time. just so I could move on. Oh,
I will say this. My friend Steve is possibly the original Los Angeles hipster.
Yeah.
Like, he might be the first. And he maintains, and he's not wrong, that Ralph's has the best fried chicken. Like, the most consistently good. If you want fried chicken and you're near a Ralph's, you get fried chicken from them, and it's better than it has any right to be.
The number of caveats that got layered on that. Right. If you want fried chicken and you're near a Ralph's, you can get fried chicken close to you.
You can get surprisingly good fried chicken
for being at a Ralph's.
Yeah.
Everything being relative, though, you already have extremely low expectations.
Yes.
So it's. For it to be surprisingly good would mean it's still pretty terrible.
Yeah, for fried chicken from a grocery store whose name is a single first name.
That is an automatopoeia for vomit.
What I'm saying is John's is terrible.